Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? Oh, we started off shaking the Monday morning blues with our mail department of the Deep Time Crew, and we talked about behaviors that turn guys off instantly. Yep, instantly is the name of the game. Well, ladies, when you are inattentive or distracted, all the men said that is absolutely something that turns them off instantly. Yeah, nobody wants to, you know, be sitting there and they're not being paid attention to because you're on the phone with your girlfriend or because you got to get to that next Instagram post. What about checking out the eye candy? Now, I did ask, what if you look but don't touch? They was like, nah. Then she might as well go ahead and be with him all the way. Instantaneous turn off for these men. Well, what about if you're a poor loser? Yeah, if you're a sore loser, you don't know how to lose without pouting, and you feel that, you know, he should let you win and things like that. No. Brother Al says, I'm competitive and I play to win. They're not doing all of that. What's another one? Well, if you're a pessimist, yeah, everything is criticized and, you know, you don't like this, you don't like that, this bothers you, that bothers you. Well, the men say instantaneous. Instantly, they are turned off. So, you know, I think we need to get this thing together. You know, some of us have been without a man for quite some time. And then when we get one, we're on the high. Yeah, you better pay attention to that. Alrighty. Well, we could not finish a Monday morning properly if we did not get the switch tip. And the switch tip for the week, don't push God to his limit. Well, listen, we just got finished talking about a handful of things that, you know, man won't tolerate. Now, although we know that God is not as fickle you know, as some men and women, he does have his limits. Yes, the Bible says so. You know, God is a loving God, but he's a wrathful God as well. Yeah, you just can't continue to just do what you want to do and ignore him and expect for things to just go all, you know, wonderful. No. You're going to have to admit, you're going to have to get it together, and don't push God to his limit. Now, in Deuteronomy 28, it's broken down nice and clearly. There are blessings for obedience, and there are curses for disobedience. So when I see the word curses, that doesn't mean you just going to happen to be falling into things all the time. No. That means that God's going to do a little thing here or there. And his little thing is a little big thing. Yes. You have to get yourself together. Together, together, together. So that, you know, you can really make sure you're not pushing God. Because he is very merciful. His grace is really a blessing to our lives. But if we continue to do what we want to do, and we do not do what God wants us to do, then we might be in for some trouble. And I don't know about you all, but that's not an area I'm willing to get in trouble in. You? Me either. Me either. So, don't push God to his limit. Okay. Well, let's talk about it. Tuesday Church Folk Day rolled in. And my two cents segment was up close and personal as we review Kingdom Business Episode 6. Season 1, Episode 6. Now, talk about falling prostrate before the Lord. Yeah. The bishop was all over his face in the opening of the episode. Yes. You know, asking God for forgiveness. You know, and it's just amazing that there could be a time where, you know, the chickens do come home to roost for us, and we have to face what we've done. And maybe that's the breaking point that we need to completely surrender to God. Well, that's what it looked like it happened for the bishop. Because not only did we see him in that physical position, but throughout the episode, you know, he did show effort of making it right and, you know, all that good stuff. And, you know, unfortunately, he had to face his indiscretion. And, you know, you really got to see a remorseful look on his face. And I want to stick a pin there, you know, right now, because how often does that happen to each and every one of us? You know, has that happened to you yet? Because the day is coming where the Lord says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, I should hope for you, well, not for you, but you get my point, that it doesn't mean when it's Jesus crack in the sky, because it's going to be too late at that point. So, you know, my prayer is that it is you, before God closes your eyes, because we don't know when that day will come. We are seeing more and more that we don't have control over this. So let's get this thing together, okay? All righty. Episode 6 was pretty good. So you might want to go back and look at it if you didn't. And that's Kingdom Business, the BET Plus series starring Yolanda Adams. And we'll be back for round 7, God's Spirit, on Tuesday. Well, it's been an interesting week over here on EG Time. As Wow Wednesday opened up to 3 women. Oh, and thank God Vivian was on point with her socially conscious segment. And Vivian talked about, let's see, the travel ban that the NTA here in New York City is looking to enforce. And I'm still trying to figure out how you get that done. You know, from what I understand, in Washington, they have this travel ban in effect. And I'm still trying to figure out how they get that done. Well. You know, out in Georgia, the bus drivers, the school bus drivers, that is, they are going buck wild. As in one shot, they caught two school bus drivers driving the children while intoxicated. And needless to say, they are in an uproar out there, because that's our children's danger they're facing. Yes, they're facing danger when you let these people drive. I mean, give me a break already. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. We don't know, you know, what our children are facing from day to day, and it is so sad that these are the things that, you know, they can't even get up and go to school and look at, you know, the trees and the road and not have to worry about, you know, the driver being drunk. So, you know, thank God that there were no casualties and everybody was pretty good. Amen. Amen. Wow. We had a conversation yesterday for Therapeutic Thursday. You know, this is this newly implemented segment called What the People Say. Yeah. And we just take some, as we normally do, but we take our news stories and we read the comments and we comment about what the public says, what the people say. It was really good. It was really, really good as we discussed many, many, many different, what do you call those things? Stories. Yeah, you know, listen, we got stories to do, okay? And one of the stories we talked about was, you know, well, one of the points, let's put it that way. One of the points we talked about was the point that, you know, the parents are allowing these children to just do all kinds of things. They're constantly in trouble with the law, and they're not doing anything. We had a story of a young lady, 12, who was caught banging on the school bus door with a gun in her hand. And mom said, hey, she was being bullied. What do you want her to do? I don't really respect the fact that you all are coming down on my daughter when the bullies are doing what they do. And someone wrote in the news comments that, you know what? Take away their food stamps. Take away their tax credits. hit them in their pocket when their child is just crime ridden. And, you know, it was a split decision, a split feeling, rather. You know, some people say, hey, you know, if you have a hardworking parent or hardworking parents and their child, you know, continues to stay in trouble, you really can't blame the kid. And then you had the others that said, listen, if your child continually gets in trouble, that means you're not doing your job. And therefore, you should have your pockets drained from any federally, state, or city-funded benefit. So it was kind of split. Now, I didn't quite get my, I didn't quite weigh in. And as a mother of three, you know, I thank God that, you know, I didn't go through all that. But I have to say, if there is a parent out here, you know, who's hardworking and, you know, her child gets into trouble, you need to find something to do with this kid instead of this kid becoming a menace to society. And if you can't seem to get a grip on it, then maybe you should be hit in the pocket. Yeah. I say, stop it, cool. Because what you doing with the money? You're not getting the child any help. So, listen, it's tough. It's a tough decision to make. It's a tough job. One of the toughest jobs in this world, in my opinion, is one of the toughest jobs underneath a pastor is the parent and then the president and then being the president. Those are the top three toughest jobs in the world for me. So that's how we spent our Thursday. Well, today is Freestyle Friday. Oh, T-G-I-F. Thank God it's Friday. Today is Monday over here on Z-Time. And I am looking forward to today's episode as I have implemented another segment. And I think you're going to enjoy this one. Well, let me just warn you. You're going to have to put your listening ears on, okay? You're going to get that pen and paper out because you just might want to take some notes. Yeah. We did some, man, we got some talking to do. And I want to even take the time to give the phone number just in case you want to call. 516-387-1358. Again, that number is 516-387-1358. If you want to talk, if you want to text and you want to send your comment in that way, it's okay. 347-285-7777. Listen, don't say I did not warn you. I stayed up late putting these sound bites together so you could hear them. So, as far as I can see, they are loaded, and I'm going to go over some news when we come back, and then I'm going to hit you with this stuff here. All righty? All righty. So let's get that healthy breakfast. What else are we going to do? Go tell somebody that it's just time Pastor Steph is on, and we're going to make sure we go nowhere, nowhere, because we'll be right back.
The impact of psoriasis is more than skin deep. It's a potentially devastating autoimmune disease that affects people both physically and emotionally. At Janssen, our immunology team is motivated by the more than 125 million people worldwide who face psoriasis every day in all aspects of life. It's a personal disease, and improving the lives of individuals living with psoriasis is personal to us. We're proud to have pioneered treatments that have helped many, yet our focus remains on continued innovation and the discovery and development of new medicines and approaches to intercept disease in the future. This World Psoriasis Day, we join the psoriasis community in raising awareness as we strive to do our part to treat, cure, and one day realize a world free from psoriatic disease. This is our vision.
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Freestyle Friday. Yes, it's the end of the week. God has so graciously brought us through this week without any hurt, harm, or danger befalling us or our family. And we're giving God thanks for all that he has done. He is so faithful. You know, even in tragedy, you know, God is faithful. And, you know, it's hard to see that, but he is. He is. So we celebrate him today together. Okay? So before I get into my news, I want to remind you that today is a new segment, and you're going to need them listening here, so go get them. Go get them, and get that pen and paper, because you're going to know, you know, you might want to write some things down, and don't say I did not warn you, okay, all right, so, we'll be talking about this moment, so let's see, where's my news, all right, what are we talking about today, Yo, the elephants in Thailand are going buck wild. Well, they say that an elephant in Thailand was, you know, put to work. Let's put it that way. He was put to work and made to carry wood in the hot weather. And the body of 32-year-old Mr. Wong Faid was found in a pool of blood on this work plantation where he stabbed the elephant. He stabbed the man with his tusks multiple times and tore his body in half. Wow. Ripped him in half. Now, this is not the first time that this has happened. They say another incident occurred last month where the elephant stabbed the man who had him working and stood over his corpse for hours. Now, the first story, that elephant didn't do that. He, you know, he just tore the body in half and then he moved on. They found the man's body, you know, separate from the elephant. But here's what I find very interesting, and while we're talking about this morning, they say that the Asian elephants are known to be wild animals. And they say they're known for attacking and killing when they're either abused, excuse me, or overly stressed by humans. And they say that despite the fact that these people are still doing this in Asia with these elephants, getting them to carry these logs in the hot weather, that it's actually been banned in Thailand since 1989. But the people are still doing it. Well, the elephants are fighting back. Now, if an entire country, continent, state, whatever, is going to take the time to ban this practice, then, you know, we need to pay attention to this thing. Now, can you imagine you being stabbed multiple times with an elephant tusk and then your body ripped in half? Man, these people better pay attention. These people better pay attention because it's real. Now, when the elephants start fighting back, cousins, listen to what I'm saying here. They have been made to carry logs back and forth. So it's almost like slavery. Yeah, that's what they're calling it. And they said the heat is so bad out there that it affects them like that. Yeah, they've been known to go wild. So listen, y'all have to figure out another way to carry these logs, or either y'all just going to keep on getting killed to you. Okay. Well, the gay pride people aren't happy with their own people. No. Out in North Carolina, there's a big uproar because they have been having, you know, their pride events. You know, this is, must be Pride Month or whatever the situation is, or Pride Time, I don't know. But two incidents took place that, you know, the people are really not happy about. And their people complaining. So in one Pride event in Charlotte, North Carolina, a stripper pole was put out there where kids were able to try out the pole dancing. And they have one photo of some, looks like somebody dressed up as a woman on the pole. And they're holding the little boy in their arms on the pole, teaching him to try the pole out. And they have another incident where they have the pole out there, and they have an instructor teaching the children how to use the pole. That was in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, at the same, at another gay pride event. And that went viral because they were showing, and they're all young children. So they have two of their events where they're showing children how to use the pole. And one of the instructors has a caption that says, "My kiddo is a natural." So this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. So not only is your lifestyle toxic, but, or can be seen as toxic, you now are pulling in the children to show them how to work a pole. Now, I'm sorry. I could think of a million things we could show our kids. A million things we could show our kids. How about teaching them how to read? What about manners? What about keeping them out of trouble and away from crime? What about, you know, teaching them early to be teachers and lawyers and doctors and artists? And, you know, what happened to football and baseball and piano lessons and, you know, ballet? What happened to all of that? Well, I guess that ain't good enough no more, because we are now teaching them how to ride the pole. What else are we talking about today? I don't know. These people. You know, I was looking at the news, and I'm like, yo, this is crazy. Okay, so wait. I wanted to do this news story, because we talked about this with Pastor KL and I think it was Brother Al on Monday, was it? Maybe? Yeah, I think it was Monday when we had them on. And we were talking about how the thieves, you know, are running amok. And they say out here in the high-end New York City stores, they say the thievery is off the chain. They say it is so bad. I mean, and they're talking high-end stores, high-end stores. They're talking about, we ain't talking about no Macy's. No, they're talking about straight high-end stores in the West Village and Soho. And they're saying that these people are coming in, they're looting the stores, and they are allowed to walk out because the people are so afraid. And we're talking about the floor people. We're talking about management. We're talking about security. They are so concerned with not knowing how these people are going to react that they just let them go ahead. And now they have made it their business, the looters, to do it. Yep. That's all they do. They walk in and out. They say, security guard at Dior on Green Street. They said, he said, you know what? Why am I even here? I'm even less than a deterrent. And that's what made me think about Pastor KL the other day, because he was saying that, you know, these are just deterrents. They're not, you know, you can't touch them in the store. You can't touch them out of the store. And that's the same thing these guys and these women and men were talking about. They say that they have this set of looters that just run amok, this specific set. And they have hit Apple. They say that that the security guard at the Apple store, he prevented, you know, this guy from fleeing with this plastic bag of headphones. And he attacked him, and they're not willing to do anything anymore. And they said that another guy, you know, approached one of the people even about their mask, and that went wrong. He was attacked. So he was saying, you know, you got to become a victim in order to even defend yourself, and they're not going for that. Nope. And they were really upset because they said that pretty much all of the larceny suspects, they just get released. Yeah, they just get, it doesn't matter. They come in, they steal. If they're caught, you know, all they do is just get released. They get a death ticket or something like that. So I really wanted to tell this story because I wanted to kind of show that they're indirectly co-signing with Pastor KL when it comes to, you know, their experience. And they say it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And they've just pretty much given up. And here's the thing that I really wanted to say to you. They said that they leave them alone, because at the end of the day, it's insured. Yeah, so there you go. Yeah, that's what they said. They said they take all the, you know, the measures they can to prevent this stuff from happening, but they leave them alone because they either they get hurt or they get fired because something happened. So it's in short. So we just let them go. Yep. So, oh my, my, my. So I wanted to just have that little conversation with you about these little stories. And I wanted to introduce a new segment to you today. And it's called Should the Church Say Amen? Now, listen, go get your listening ears. Go get your pen and pad because you might want to take some notes. Because I got some sound bites that's going to make you scratch your head, you know, from our clergy. And I want to give you an opportunity to call in 516-347. I'm sorry. We're giving you two different numbers. 516-387-1358. And if you just want to text, 347-285-7777. Now, you may have already heard about this. Again, I don't listen to the news. You know, I really don't read the news unless I'm trying to pull news for you all to discuss. But we have a pastor who criticized his congregation. And this was sent to me, I would say, a listener. How does Vivian say it? A listener, she knows. I'll let her say it, coming up. But one of our listeners sent this to me, and I wanted to play this for you. And you'll see why I ask, should the church say amen? Let's see what we got here.
Good evening. My name is Carlton Funderburg.
Okay, hold on.
See, that's how I know you're still poor, broke, busted, and disgusted, because of how you've been honoring me. I'm not worth your McDonald's money. I'm not worth your Red Lobster money. I ain't worth your St. John knit. Y'all can't afford it no how. I ain't worth y'all Louis Vuitton. I ain't worth your Prada. I'm not worth your Gucci. You can buy a Movado watch in Sam's. And y'all know I asked for one last year. Here it is the whole way in August. I still ain't got it. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Let me kick down the door and talk to my cheap sons and daughters. I don't want to hear no more excuses about what y'all can't afford. You can't afford it because you don't see the value here. Y'all hear from y'all pastor and father, I'm over y'all. I'm over your cheap expression.
Good evening. My name is Carlton Funderburg. I'm the senior.
Okay. Now, I'm still scratching my head. That's why you hear the silence. In the silence, I ain't talking, but I'm scratching my head. I think I need to play that again, just in case you miss something.
See, that's how I know you're still poor, broke, busted, and disgusted, because of how you've been honoring me.
I'm not worth your McDonald's money. I'm not worth your Red Lobster money. I ain't worth your St. John knit. Y'all can't afford it no how. I ain't worth y'all Louis Vuitton. I ain't worth your Prada. I'm not worth your Gucci. You can buy a Movado watch in Sam's.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
And y'all know I asked for one last year. Here it is the whole way in August. I still ain't got it. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Let me kick down the door and talk to my cheap sons and daughters. I don't want to hear no more excuses about what y'all can't afford. You can't afford it because you don't see the value here. Y'all hear from y'all pastor and father, I'm over y'all. I'm over your cheap expression. Good evening.
Do y'all hear the amens in the background? Am I the only one who was here? Where are my men? Thank you so much. See, my listeners love me. Listener submitted story. Thank you. Listener submitted story. That I drew a blank. But, of course, the listeners sent that in. Thank you so much. Where are my men at? Good morning, Brother Al.
Morning. Chop, chop of the morning. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. This morning, Al, Brother Al, we ain't going for no quote. We going for the amens in the background.
No problem.
What happened? Is it me?
Oh man, you know it's so funny because I've heard that, and I'm sitting there like, what the heck are they saying? He mad at y'all because y'all didn't buy him something. He mad because y'all ain't buying nothing. And y'all sitting there, go ahead, brother. Come on now. Are you serious? Absolutely insane. Absolutely insane, man. People better be careful who they following.
Now, Brother Al, I heard all this going on in the background. They were just as loud as he was.
Yeah.
What in the world is happening here? Okay.
Man, you know, they said that we would be having false prophets coming, and they here, and they're getting followers. And I seen, you got to see the video. I seen and hear more.
I saw the video. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you saw it? You see how many people we got there?
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
In Spain.
Yeah. All righty. Where's my boy Pastor KL? Where's Pastor KL? Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning. How are you? I'm still waiting for my ostrich shoes.
Well, I got to tell you, his due time is quite broke. We ain't got no money for no.
No, we ain't going for that, Pastor Steph. I ain't worth no chicken. I ain't worth that TV you got on the wall, Pastor.
What is going on? Should the church say amen, Pastor K.L.?
Not at all. Not at all. When I listened to that, it kind of turned my stomach. Because I'm your pastor and father. Now you're supposed to take care of me. I'm not even understand the whole dialogue. You frustrated because you can't get a watch. You don't even know what time it is. Because it ain't about you.
You know, gentlemen, you know, he says, I asked you for this watch a year ago. And you can buy a Movado watch at Sam's Club. So clearly it's the Movado watch that he wanted to, you know, that he did request. And when he didn't get it, you know, this is how he responds. And see, that's how I know y'all still broke, poor, broke, busted, and disgusted. Why am I still poor, broke, busted, and disgusted because of how you've been honoring me? Where's the connection of the two? You say connection, Brother Al?
Sorry, I had to mute all. No connection at all. You know, he called them broke because he didn't get what he wanted. So he figured, okay, y'all ain't getting me what I want. Y'all broke. And y'all disgusting. They should have been kicking the door down getting out of there.
You know, Pastor KL, is that an indication that you're poor, broke, busted, and disgusted, and that's how you honor him? Is that what we're doing? We're honoring him like that?
Well, for some churches, you know, I've been around different churches, but for some churches, you know, you honor the head, and they believe that your destiny lies within me as the pastor. For some churches, you know, they misquote or misdirect. If you're a prophet, a drink of water, you shall get a prophet's reward. And since he believes he's the prophet of the house, and you want to be rewarded and you want to come out of poverty, you know, if you bless the man of God, God is going to bless you.
Man. So he goes on to say, I'm not worth your McDonald's money. I'm not worth your Red Lobster money. I ain't worth your St. John's Nick. Y'all can't afford it. No how. So he's, in other words, he's saying that, you know, y'all buy McDonald's, y'all buy Red Lobster, y'all could not have, you know, swapped out one for the other. So instead of buying your McDonald's, Red Lobster, your St. John's Mint, and all of this kind of stuff, you know, hey, you could have bought me the, you know, Movado watch by the time y'all had all of this kind of stuff. And it's funny because we talked about this before, about how black preachers don't get paid like that. We talked about this. So that's, you know, and I'm like, well, and he has a large congregation, like Brother Al said, you know, I did see the video. There were quite a few people. But I want to, before we go further, I want to talk about this amen section. What is with the amen section? How do we hear this kind of stuff and it's okay? I don't know, Brother Al, what would make you think, what would you think that makes them say okay? Because I'm trying to figure this one out. Maybe you can help me out.
I think them is boys, you know, because not everybody was saying it. You heard a couple of grunts and groans, but the main ones was like, go ahead now, say it. You know, them is people. They saying that they agree with them. That they agree with them. Like, yeah, we supposed to get this for him. Because I think them is boys in the back, rooting it on.
Pastor Kale, do you think that it's only his boys that could be doing this? Or are there really, you know, parishioners who are sanctioning not just that you feel this way? My problem was is that he voiced this and you're amening this.
I mean, I a lot of things sit at me. I think is the ignorance of the people, first of all, because he's actually not only is he downplaying you, belittling you, but he's also insulting you. So how do I amen to an insult? What motivates me to now want to buy you the watch when you said I can't even afford the things that I might want myself? So if I can't afford a McDonald's or Red Lobster, no, I can't afford to. You're not worth my money. I can't afford it. So why would I amen and sanction that when you're insulting me? You're not lifting me up as a pastor should do. You're insulting me. So no, I'm not motivated to amen you or to agree with you, because in agreeing with you, I'm agreeing, you know, to my demise, to what you're speaking over my life.
And that's the problem that I'm having. That's why I said, and he's saying it publicly. He's speaking publicly. You know, I'm your boys, and I do believe, you know, Brother Al, for the record, that some of them were the DPAs and, you know, his people. But, you know, you heard some other voices. voice is famous in the background. And my thing was, he's not saying anything nice about you all. He's literally smashing y'all. And not only is the pastor smashing you, but everybody else who's saying amen is smashing you as well. That's what I'm having a problem with. I'm like, it's bad enough you saying it, but now I can't even, my co-congregants or whatever you call them, you know, they're sanctioning this behavior as well. Really? So I don't only mean little to the pastor. I mean little to the people that I'm worshiping with. So how are we a body? How are we a body? You know, how? I was twisted. I had to play it like three times. I was like, are you serious? I'm literally hearing, say that. Amen. I was like, yo, they have lost their minds. How do we get to the point where we feel as pastors that we are owed because we request? As a congregant, Brother Al, how do you think that happens?
Well, you know, I think what happens a lot is you get people who read the Bible, and when they come to certain verses, they interpret it their own way. And you know, and God clearly tells us not to lean on our own understanding. And you have these people who read, and they'll take this verse and be like, okay, well, this is what this means to me. And they stand firmly on it and feel, hey, listen, I'm over this stuff. You know, God put me over y'all. Y'all supposed to take care of me, and y'all not doing it. And they have sit there and truly, you know, and get people, especially when they get people like that amen corner, I call, you know, sitting there, amen, just say it. And they getting that, so that's feeding the energy. Like, okay, they know I'm talking right, so I'm going to push even more. You know, and so I guess they're reading Proverbs 105, you know, they reading Proverbs 105 and not knowing what's going on.
Your Pastor Kale, last week when we listened to the interview with Fat Joe and Bishop Whitehead, one of the things that Fat Joe said, which we know is true, is that there are people who say, I want my pastor to look like this. I want my pastor to live like this. I want my pastor to dress like this. Do you think that aids in these leaders feeling this way?
I would say so. However, you know, it's a difference between, you know, someone honoring you that way than you demanding them to honor you that way. You know, if you buy me a gift, I'm appreciative of it, you know, because it's a surprise to me. It's not that I'm telling you, listen, this is what you need to buy me, you know, otherwise I'm going to denounce you as one of my appreciatives. You know, so it's definitely a difference. You know, from back in the old days, you know, in the Baptist churches, they bought the pastor cars, and you know, the old mothers brought the family dinner on Sundays, or somebody cooked on a Wednesday. These were the things that they just did for their pastor out of honoring their pastor, not because this was on the request board that on Tuesday Mother Morant had to come and, you know, feed the family. You know, the old mothers used to do this. You know, now these pastors think that they have arrived, and now they're requiring it. This has been a requirement. And no, we can't do that.
Yeah, that's the way I see it as well. It's gone from, you know, what God has put on people's heart to do, to this is what I'm expecting. So, you know, there's a big turn. You've got a comment from our listeners. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning. How are you?
well, thank you. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Okay, what's that?
Okay, we have a couple of comments. First one reads, I don't think that the congregation knew they were being insulted by the pastor and they were so busy saying amen. I would have left the building and he would have been talking to my back.
Wow, that's a whole lot of not listening. If you can't determine if you're insulted or not, you ain't, then Lord only knows what you're walking out there with. Wow. Okay. Thank you, listener. What else you got?
We got pastors like him is a big reason why people don't go to church.
Absolutely. You know, people are always waiting for a reason why they don't want to go to church. And thanks to people like him, like the listener said, oh, they can use you as an excuse. Because I wouldn't want to go to church. You know, we're trying to get people there to understand. And when you're doing all this kind of stuff, and forget about why you're angry, but you're so angry that you're insulting these people. That's a bit much. That's a bit much. Is that it for right now?
Yes, that's all the comments for now.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, the pastor came to himself. And he realized that he said something wrong. So I want you to hear the apology he read. Now, I'm going to say that again. I want you to, after he said all of this stuff, he came to himself and realized that I said some things that were wrong. And he read an apology. All right, here we go.
Good evening. My name is Carlton Funderburg. I'm the senior pastor of Church of the Well right here in Kansas City, Missouri. I want to take this moment to address the now viral video clip of me from a sermon given August the 7th, 2022. Though there is context behind the content of the clip, no context will suffice to explain the hurt and anguish caused by my words. I've spoken to those I am accountable to and have received their correction and instruction. I have also privately apologized to our church, who has extended their love and support to me. I'm privileged to do life with them. The video clip does not reflect my heart or my sentiments toward God's people, yet that's not discernible in the clip. Therefore, I offer this sincere apology to you today. No context could erase the words I used. I apologize to all who have been hurt, angered, or in any way damaged by my words. The zeal of any presentation must be tempered with love and respect. And that was not displayed. I apologize to the church at large for any undue scrutiny I have subjected you to. I apologize to every preacher and pastor who must stand up under the controversy that I have caused. To those who know and love me, thank you for your support. To those who now know me because of this video clip, I regret that your first impression of me is one of anger, hate, and resentment. My actions and my words are inexcusable. I offer no justification or defense. That moment was mishandled and mismanaged. I deeply regret this moment, and I solicit your prayers and your forgiveness as we grow forward. Thank you. God bless you.
Okay. Now I want to remind you that you might be listening to this apology, but this apology was read. So, Brother Al, I'll give you an opportunity to comment on one of the things he said.
Well, I was waiting for him at the end of it, say, at the end of the red apology, for him to say, but I still want that watch. But one of his things that he said, I'm sorry, that my first impression. Okay, you know, first impression means a lot. And that sets a standard. When you are first introduced to somebody, when you're around somebody for the first time, that first impression means a lot. You know, and your congregation know you, but we don't know you. And I believe that he's apologizing because it went viral, and now he's getting so much negative attention to us, like, okay, you know what? I need to apologize. And he sat there, and he took his time and wrote that, or somebody wrote it for him. And like you said, it don't even sound from the heart because you're reading it. It's not even from the heart. So, you know, of course we got to forgive, but you ain't got to worry about me being at your church.
Pastor KL, you know, based on what Brother Al just said about first impressions, you know, what's your thought in this statement of first impressions?
Again, he apologized to save face. You know, I mean, because again, yeah, if your first impression is negative. Now, I often talk about the body of Christ, and he also apologized to the body of Christ. And I often say that we all are part of the body of Christ, and we all are different limbs or different entities of this body. And if there's a cancer in the body, we all have to figure out how to cure the cancer in order for us to move on. He became the cancer in the body, you know, and as much as we don't like it, you know what I mean? He has made a bad stain on the body, and we have to do something to either cut the cancer out or to cure it, you know, and learn how to live with it until we can remove it, you know, and that's the bad part of it, because again, people already don't want to come to church for these reasons, and now we have to either make an excuse for it or talk them out of it, and almost like say, well, this is why he might have did it, but he apologized. So it puts us, you know, the rest of the body, in a bad light from his first impression, because his first impression represents the body, which we are. So now we have to deal with it as well.
Okay. One more thing before we have comments. Brother Al, what was something else that stuck out to you?
Let me see. That caught me when he said there wasn't... I'm trying to see, because when he said first impression, my mind just straight went there. But I don't know, to tell you the truth. But that first impression just grasped my attention, and I'm just like, wow. Okay.
Pastor KL, what stuck out to you in that apology outside of what you just talked about? Because I got some stuff. So I don't know why you drawing a blank, brother. I don't care whether I got stuck at one point. And I told you to go get a pen and a piece of paper so you can write this down. Because I knew this would be loaded. I just wrote me down 9 things and you can't think past one. Come on, Pastor KL, give it to him.
Take it easy how you talk to me.
Hey, Brother Al, I'm going to apologize for Pastor Steph for the way she's talking to you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I appreciate it, sir. Thank you very much.
That first impression is a little rough.
Exactly. Because I'm not I'm not worth that bucket of chicken. I'm not worth that bucket of chicken to be eating over there.
But one of the things that got me is what he said, and I've apologized to my congregation in private. Well, you exposed you and your congregation openly, so you should have apologized openly as well.
Right.
You know, why do this behind closed doors? You've already made a mockery out of yourself and your congregation. So even in that conversation, I'm not sure where it was when you aired that and you were writing and reading, you should have also said, and again, I apologize to the congregation of whom I've hurt directly. You know, that should have been an open statement, not behind closed doors, because this thing went beyond your four walls. So everybody should have known that you were man enough, you know, saying to admit even to your people. These are, as you say, you are their father, so these are your children. So then you need to apologize to your children openly. You know, not behind the closed doors. You know what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. No, you let it leak out of Vegas.
Absolutely, absolutely, and that's what I thought. I'm like you said, I've already apologized to my, you know, whatever in private. I'm like, but this went viral. So clearly, it wasn't private. It wouldn't have gone viral if it were private. The reason why you feel the need to apologize in the first place is because we've heard what you said to your congregation. So you twisted.
Right.
Twisted. Let me say.
Oh yeah, I got one pastor staff.
No. I got a comment. No, you hold on to that one. No.
You see how I'm being treated? Yeah. You see how I'm being treated? You see how I'm being treated? This is unacceptable. Unacceptable.
Until you buy me a Movado watch, you hold on to that.
You need to apologize in public. Apologize.
You need to apologize right now in front of all these countries that listen. Right now. I don't want it later on.
No, hold on. I give you the floor. You ain't got nothing to say. I go to Pastor.
I had to think.
And now all of a sudden you got something to say. I had to think. Okay, well, good. Now hold that thought while I talk to Hold on a minute. Shanti, what you got over there, girl?
Okay, I have a comment. First, I have a question. You said this apology was done in private?
That's what he said. In his apology, he said, I've apologized to the congregation, to my congregation in private. And he had an extension on it, but I'm not going to say because I want to comment on that one. But that's what he said, yes.
Okay. The first issue is you reading anything. I don't understand what's with – no, I'm sorry. No. Before that. The first issue is he sounds just like Prada and Burberry and all them other brands that did the black face and they had the hoodies with and the string from the hoodie was a noose around the neck. All of these offensive clothing pieces that they came out with boldly, and then now they want to write an apology. Y'all knew what y'all was doing from the beginning, okay? Then you want to write this apology. So he might as well have written that down and posted it on the Shade Room because it would have sounded just as fake on there. How are you reading? Who came to you and said, you should write this or here? I think you should read this because what you said was wrong, but you ain't got to take the time to think of an apology because I've written it for you. That is so tacky. So you, like you wrote a movie script, and now you're reading it to people. I agree with you said this out loud boldly, then you should boldly, in front of everyone, apologize. All of this, you reading it just says fake. There's nothing authentic about it. Your voice was all crazy, and you were serious about, you know, you were convicted about Nike's gift. But now your apology is, I would just like to say, God bless. like, what? If God really put it on your heart to apologize and you really, you know, went to repent and all that, you would have been just as loud or louder with your apology. But this is what happens when you read it. So obviously one of the things you didn't learn in school was how to read effectively, because even in school when you're reading something out loud, well, they don't teach the way they used to teach when I was in school. But when I was in school, when they said read out loud, you have to change your voice for the characters and all that. So you don't even know how to do that. So this is why it is very important that a lot of these people, they want to say I'm for God and you know, I'm clergy and I'm a pastor and I'm a this and I'm a that and all that. But y'all don't, they don't allow God to deal with them properly. Because if you made room for God to deal with you properly, even if all you said was I'm sorry, they would have felt that in just those two words. But all this writing stuff, this is ridiculous.
Thank you for your
message.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Let us know if we got more comments from the listeners. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, Brother Al, what you got?
Okay, good. The part where he said, I'm coming on here to apologize about the video that went viral. So the only reason that told me that you only apologizing because it went viral, because it went around. So you only apologizing because it went viral, you know, because you should have just left that out. Hey, I want to apologize for my action. He said, I want to apologize for the video that went viral. So you sorry that went viral. So you want to apologize that you hate that. You want to apologize that it got out, basically. I'm sorry this leaked out. That's my bad. You know, so that was one that stuck out to me, too.
Can I add on to that
real quick?
Yes.
If you listen to it, if you listen to what he said indirectly, he said, I've spoken to the people who I'm connected with, you know, which means that who's in charge of me, my bishops, my apostles, and I got smashed. So that's another reason why I'm out here apologizing, because I made my organization look bad.
Yep. That was the extension that I was talking about. That's exactly the extension I was talking about. Yep. Absolutely. Even the words he said, going back to what the two of you said and what Shanti said, the wording alone indicates that he was reading it. Wording alone indicates that he was reading it. So, you know, this was a doozy. This was a doozy. And if, you know, he wants to teach people how to apologize, he did a very poor job of that. And I can't see sitting in front of him anymore. I go with Brother Al. You know, you ain't got to worry about me in no church. We got comments, and then we got another sound bite that we need to listen to today. Shanti, what you got over there?
Okay, now I have. Now, for real, though, I would have approached him and asked him, are these material things so important to you that you're willing to insult us?
Okay. Good question. Yeah. Maybe you should have yelled Wait. Maybe you should have yelled that while the people were yelling amen.
Right.
Maybe that would have been more effective at that point. Not pulling him aside, but yelling, yeah. I'm only joking. We can't act the way everybody else is acting. Very good point, Liz.
Because I would have done that. But okay. It's sad when these type of preachers go viral. As Pastor Kale said, we have to heal the cancer, but it seems now that the church body as a whole has to focus more on that to show it's not all, like, the whole church body that feels like this. They're more focused on doing God's work. 3 steps forward to go 5 steps back. And this ultimately takes away from God.
Absolutely, listener. Absolutely. All righty. Good point. Anything else?
Not as of yet, no.
Okie dokie. I'm sure you're getting ready to get some comments on this next soundbite. Thank you so much. All right. Get your pen out, Brother Al.
I already got it.
All right, now, here we go, here we go.
Talking to you is sitting on this blue pole. Yeah, you. You sit on it in the iron, please. Can you leave my church and go put on man clothes? And don't come here like that no more.
Thank you, Jesus.
I hold a standard in here. Mm-hmm. Whatever you do on the outside is your business. But I will not let drag queens come in here. And y'all gonna come in here, you're gonna dress like a man.
Right.
Now, whatever you do on the outside, that's your business. But when you come in this house, if you a man, dress like a man.
Yeah.
If you a woman, you dress like a woman.
Yeah.
I'm not going to allow it.
Yeah.
My salvation is more important.
Yeah.
And God is holding me accountable.
Yeah.
Now, whatever you do outside these doors, I don't bash, I don't judge.
Yeah.
But when you come in here, you will not be a drag queen.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost tell me in my spirit that is drag queen sitting here with wigs on, I'm going to ask you to be removed from the sanctuary. Because you cannot, I will not play this game. You will not, I don't care if you don't clap and you don't like it, don't come here. You will not be playing wigs and heels and fooling people up in here.
Come on.
You can fool people, but see, I got the Holy Ghost for real. I can pick your spirit up in the back of the church.
Hallelujah.
Now, if you don't know me, don't come here and play with me. Okay, I can pick the spirit up. He was bothering my spirit. I had to see what he had on.
Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Because that's a man, that's not a woman.
Holy prophet.
Now, whatever you do on the outside, between you and God, you can dress drag all day, but you gotta respect the rule of the house. Now they may allow it as other churches, but if I know you a man with a wig on, I'm either gonna snap that wig off or you got to get up out of here. Cause as for me and my house, lay all it off. You may have to never come back here, but you're not gonna wear no heels in here.
Come on. Come on.
Anybody that knows my preaching, you know I don't call fags.
Come on, come on.
I don't do no bashing because everybody is struggling with something.
Come on.
But what I'm not going to do is allow you to disrespect the house of God. Now that I can't do. You call me, talk about me, put me on live tonight.
Come on.
Okay, you can spread this all over the world.
Come on.
And tell every drag to come and try me.
Come on.
Because I stand for holiness.
Come on.
I can't make nobody live right, but I'm going to make you respect this house at 7040 Southwestern or don't come here.
Come on.
Come here throwing no wig and you a man.
Come on.
We're not going to do that down up in here.
Come on.
I knew something was messing with my
spirit. Come on, man.
Now, other churches will go for it because they like to compromise men.
Should the church be saying amen? Oh, my God! Help me, y'all. Help me. All right, Brother Al, you always got the floor first. What you got?
Oh, my God. I'm sitting here with my pen writing up some stuff. One of the things, I'll save that one, but one of the things he said was, my salvation is at risk. And I'm listening to you. You say your salvation is at risk. Yes, it is at risk because the church is like a hospital. And this young man or woman, whoever came in dressed that way, could have heard something and changed their way. See, people don't realize that it's a spirit. You know, it's a sin. Just like there's no sin bigger than another sin. We all got hang-ups. Maybe that person hang up is dressing like a woman. You know, your hang up may be cursing, your hang up may be this and that. But for you to tell that person they gotta leave, you just push somebody out the door that you probably could have saved. So you got that right about your salvation is at risk, because you're accountable for pushing that person out the door where you could have helped that person. You could have said something that triggered in that person's mind, like, man, okay, this ain't right for me to do. Let me shake this spirit off and get it together. So when you said that, when he said that part of my salvation is at risk, yes, it is. Even though he meant it a different way, because he said his salvation was at risk for allowing a person to dress, drag or whatever, to come into that church. So that was one. And I'll stop there. Oh, like you said, I'll put a pin right there.
All righty, Brother Al. All righty. All righty. Good point. Good point. Good point. Pastor KL. Should the church be saying amen? You're talking to the mute button?
He's checking his congregation.
I'm sorry. I done talked for about 3 hours. All right. So not at all. Not at all. You know, we always talk about, you know, come as you are. But when they come as they are, you know, now you wanna preach on their sin. Now my question would be, is that the liar in the congregation, why do you not put them out? The fornicator in the congregation, why do you not put them out? Their sin is just as equal as the homosexual or whatever you're calling it. But because you can't readily see that sin, then it's okay for them to kind of hide it in their crowd. You know, I always say if there's no conviction, there'll be no conversion. So your words, your sermon, to be so eloquent that it convicts them, the very thing that these folks are doing. So they want to convert. They want to convert to the other side. But we keep on trying to clean the fish before we catch them. And that's our problem. We got to let them come in. Listen, it may be an eyesore to you, but they're still a soul. And since Jesus went back for the one, you know, then you're right. You're at risk because the blood, as Deacon Al says, you know, the blood is on your hands. You put this person out and they get even worse, or they kill themselves or whatever. Then now the blood is on your hands because you have the opportunity to convert them.
Woo! Amen. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Brother Al, what you got? What's in those notes?
Okay. Well, I'm going to put these two together because they work in hand in hand. Then there was a part where he said, I don't do no bashing and I don't judge. But what do you think you just did? You know, what do you think
that you just did,
bro? He said, I don't do no bashing and I don't judge. What do you call it then? You did both. You judge and you bash that person. You bash that person by saying, you ain't coming up in here. Oh, no, you come up in here. You ain't putting no wig on. You going to snatch that wig off, and you going to come up here. And then you say, I don't judge him. Then you turn right back around and say, oh, I feel the I picked up the spirit when you walked through the door. Something was in my spirit saying something ain't wrong. You know, so now my thing is, why, what happened? That person came in dressed like a woman and you was attracted to it, then you was mad because you found out it was a man? That right there, right, you know, but that right there, you don't judge and you're not bashing. You did both. The whole conversation was judging and bashing. And the congregation, amen, clapping. I'm like, judge and bash. Just as bad. That means y'all are agreeing. Y'all are agreeing with this man. So all of y'all together. So not only the blood is on his hand, it's on y'all hand too because y'all agreeing with him.
The whole church. The whole church. The entire time, the whole church.
Whole church.
I couldn't even imagine being in the middle of this room. And not only is, you know, the first sound bite we had, the pastor was going on. But when I'm sitting in the middle, how in the world? Like Pastor KL said, there's a conversion that needs to take place. And something in that room is supposed to help to make the conversion. Some word you give, some scripture, some song you sing, some testimony is supposed to help with the conversion. But you sitting in the middle of the room. Go ahead, Pastor KL. Go ahead, Pastor KL. What you got?
Well, let me say this. First of all, that individual came to church because he or she needed something.
Right.
She came to the hospital because at some point there has been an emergency in her life. And they required some type of attention. You know, and here you are, the place that's supposed to be my safe haven, where I can come and get counseling, you're bashing me. And then you as the doctor, the pastor as the doctor, instead of coming to me and telling me, hey, you know, preaching, even if you preach my sin, you know, preach, you know, and then the nurses in the background is the amen corner. So no one is trying to help me fix what I came here for.
Yep.
I got everybody against me. I can't even get through the triage without people bashing me, without people telling me, it's your fault you have pneumonia. It's your fault you have COVID. It's your fault you're going through this thing. No one's saying, hey, we can get you better. Hey, this is what we need to do. In the word of God, it says this. No one's giving me a prescription to get my life together. But in the hospital, where I'm supposed to feel safe and get better, I'm still being condemned. And no one's patching me up. No one's putting a cast on my arm. No one's putting stitches on me. They're just making it worse. We have to break you in order to fix you.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Oh, we've got comments. We've got comments. Shantis, what you got over there?
Okay. Does he have children? Because I could not see myself nor my sisters sitting, listening to our mother or father up there doing this. This also tells me that there are no young people there. Because when you heard the amens, you would have been hearing the other side, whether they agreed with it or not. But stuff like that don't go over too well with younger people. And it's not even so much all the time what's being said, but as everyone has heard, when they feel like you coming at me or you coming at someone else and they don't approve of it, or they feel like your tactics could have been better, you're going to hear from them, okay? Another question. Why does everyone feel the spirit when it's time to say something to somebody else? You don't ever feel the spirit when you need to be checked. Like, I know someone like that. Oh, my spirit told me about someone. I have to finally ask after, like, 3 years of hearing this. I'm going to ask you something. Do you ever hear about you? Because I see some things. And I ain't coming to you first saying the spirit show. This is what I'm seeing. Before me tapping into God, or it could be the Holy Spirit, because I have the Holy Spirit, it could be, but just on a daily conversation, I'm hearing things that you need to be checked on, but you always seem to get, you know, feel that stir with other people. When it comes to you, there's nothing. Another thing is I can see, you know, I'm no preacher, I'm no pastor, I'm no minister. But I can see you standing up front and you teaching, do whatever it is you're doing, or if you're just talking to the congregation, and you see someone like that walk in or sitting there, and it may catch you off guard. And this, in my opinion, is one of those times where, you know how, like, they have, like, the steps. You got to talk to this one and that one and that one and go to the pastor. I personally feel like this is one situation where, forget all that, because the pastor is the main one that the Lord is dealing with within this ministry, within this flock, that even if you went and pulled that person to the side and even quickly asked them their intentions, because unfortunately, especially if you have a congregation where it's a bunch or even a few young people, to have someone sitting there like that would draw eyes and attention. And a lot of the focus is now on that person. So I wouldn't find it strange if the pastor humbly pulled that person to the side and not make a scene of pulling them to the side, because then it's not really pulling them to the side, and ask, you know, whatever you're going to ask. And if you then sense that, you know, they're genuinely there for the same reasons everyone else should be there,
no,
then fine.
No, I'm stopping you now. I was trying to hold on. No way.
I'm in agreement with that.
No. Okay.
No. I'm in agreement with you, Pastor Steph.
Hold on. I need to know. Give me a second. I need to know. What are you agreeing with, Pastor KL? My nose or Shantice is pulling to the side?
No, your nose. You're definitely your nose. You don't ostracize somebody like that. And again, you don't know what level they are on when they got there. I mean, just think about it. Think about how hard it took them to get there.
Right.
Just to get to this place of coming into the house. I mean, listen, you think he or she, whatever you want to call it, didn't know what he or she was when he got there? You think he or she didn't know that they'll be facing all the scrutiny when they got there? But in spite of what they knew, they still pressed their way there because they needed something. The woman with the issue of blood knew that she could be killed. She could be stoned because she shouldn't have been out there. But in spite of what she knew, she realized she had to get close to God.
Absolutely. We don't pull anybody else to the side. Well, are we worrying about, okay, so the point that was made was, you know, you don't know what other people are thinking. I don't care. I don't care what other people are thinking. This is supposed to be a judge-free zone. Now, we know it's not a judge-free zone. We know that right here declares it's not a judge-free zone. But when you say, I can understand, you know, hey, this is, you know, other people are sitting around and they're looking, you know, at what, you know, or what, you know, they might have questions. So what? You have questions. There's nothing wrong with the fact that you have questions. But that's for you to address them. Not for you to address the person coming through the door who needs the help. Because I agree. Anybody, and I'm going to tell you something, I'm going to even venture to say, now y'all may not agree with this, you know, you have people who come, they say for the women, or they ain't here, they just following this woman, or they just following this man up in the church. Guess what? So what? If they in the house, they got to hear. Guess what? You might think you duping God. But God is allowing you to walk up in there. You got a need when you walk up in there. If your need to walk up in a church is for to follow a man or a woman, you got needs. So I say bring that need up in here too. Because as long as you come up in here, there's a word that may touch you, and there starts the conversion. So I ain't mad at that. I don't know about the rest of y'all. I don't get mad when people say, oh, you know, they only hear. He only, because I had somebody, they told me that they were only coming to church because they were looking at Shantice. I said, that's okay. I'm good with that. They think they fooling God. That's okay. Let them come up in here. Because that way, he has to hear the words for the day. each Sabbath he's here. But we surely don't go to someone and pull them on the side, because anybody who walks up in the church has a need. Anybody who walks in the church has a need. Now, we're going to talk about these particular people. You know, this is a lifestyle that's hell for some people. They feel they were born like this. They feel this is all they've known. They feel like they've got pressure on either side to be who they feel they're going to be or be who someone else wants them to be. This is a whole lot that they're walking around with. No. I'm sorry. I was trying to hold on to that. No, I really was. I was trying to be well-behaved, but I couldn't. I could not be well-behaved on that one. Brother Al, I'll give you, we got a couple of minutes to explore another thought of yours. What you got?
Now, am I answering to the first one, or are you answering me something else?
Whatever you want to say. No, it's open.
Oh, okay. Okay. I would like to say that I do agree with your nose, and that's what one of the problems is in the church. And again, that comes to judging. And again, God gave that person that pathway to come to that church, and now you're going to tell that person to leave? And I agree with you, Pastor Steph, regardless of what that person coming to church for, all right? That person was led there for a reason. Like you said, this young man was coming to look at Shanti. Well, regardless, he was led to come to that church, okay? Maybe he loved women so much, and God said, okay, let me put this pretty woman in front of him to get him in there so he can hear that word. And something in that word is going to trigger him. You know, when I first started going back to church, when I said I can at least give God some praises for saving me and doing things, and it was so crazy. I left a church because of that. And I remember being in this church. I went to visit the church, and the pastor called everybody come up to the front as he prayed, to pray for everybody. And I went up front. There was some reverends, ministers, everybody went up front. This man walked in, and you could tell he was on the streets. His clothes was dirty, ripped. He just came. He came up to the front, and everybody was grabbing hands. These two reverends basically blocked him and moved away from him. And he looked at them. He was like, wow. And I went over there and I hugged him. And I said, don't worry about it, brother. You know, God got us. I said, I'm in here too. God got us. And I prayed with him. And everybody looked at me like I was crazy. So me and him left. You know what I'm saying? So you never know, you running the souls out. And then you just saw how everybody looked at me. They looked at me with disgust because I grabbed that man and I hugged him. Okay, his clothes was ripped. He didn't smell that great. So what? That man came through that door crying, which tells you he needed something. And you pushed him away. And the pastor didn't say anything, but you should have said something. He was looking right at the situation. So we can't come in and, oh, okay, here's a good one. Why you ain't say nothing about Sister Jones who made that potato salad that tasted like rock? You ain't say nothing about that. You ain't called that out. You know, Sister Jones, no, Sister Jones, no doggone well that ain't no dill pickle go in potato salad. But you ain't say nothing. You know, so you hit it right on the head that we have to get away from that and look at why this person came here. That person just didn't decide, oh, you know, I'm going to get up and go to this church and embarrass them. That person came there because that person is searching and needs something. And we push them away. That you're going to be held accountable for that. You're not going to, your church is not going to be blessed. You're going to lose so much by turning that soul away. So I agree with you totally on that.
Absolutely, Brother Al. Absolutely. Pastor KL, you got something that you want to share? You got a comment on something else we didn't talk about that he said?
Well, you know what? I just want to say this. You know, because, you know, Shantice is saying, you know, when you hear from the Spirit, and you, first of all, when you hear from the Spirit, you don't speak over the pulpit to someone like that. You know, as a prophet, sometimes if God gives you a word, you might pull them to the front you know, and it's not has to be with homosexuals, it can be with anybody, and you tell them what God says in their ear. It's not everybody's business. It's not everybody's business what God is dealing with you and that gentleman or that young lady. You know, you don't air people's business out. That's not order. You know, and that, you know, God does things in decency and in order. That's not decent and it's not an order. You know, and you know, we have to stop getting to the place where we think that the building is our church. You know, it belongs to God. God just allows you, you know, to be over it, to be the mouthpiece. So when you know, as for me in my house, okay, that's fine. But when your rules in your house does not line up with the word of God, then it's time to change the rules. It just can't work because, again, listen, I run a store. But guess what? If my rules don't line up with what the company wants me to do, then they need to find somebody else to run that store. And that's how simple and simplistic we have to be. When what you're saying is not lining up to what God is holding you to, then they need a new employee.
Absolutely, absolutely. Here's something that I would like to get your comment on, both of you. You know, I heard, well, you know, my spirit, something to the effect of my spirit could sense, or my spirit could tell somebody was in here. If you looked around the room, your spirit don't have to tell you that. Brother Al, help me out, please. I don't know.
Yeah, that was one that I wrote down, and what he said was, he could pick the spirit up when he came through the door, and I'm listening too. Your spirit ain't picked nothing up. Your eyes picked it up.
Right,
you know,
right.
So so your spirit, like Pastor Kel named all the other stuff. So your spirit didn't pick up the people who are in there fornicating and doing all the other stuff. Your spirit didn't pick that up, but your spirit picked this up. No, your eyes picked it up. You know, and then and like you say, and one of the things too, he just basically threw the person out of church because his comment was, leave my church and go put on men clothes. So you threw the person out, basically. Because that was his exact word.
Right.
Leave my church and go put on some man clothes. That's what, so you said, you should just say, you know what, get out. Because that's what you said.
Right. Pastor KL, you know, my spirit picked up that you were in the room. But a drag queen is a drag queen. You could see that a mile away. Why are we using this terminology to make it seem like we're so profound and we're so prophetic?
Listen, if RuPaul came into your church, you know RuPaul was in the house. Okay? That's the bottom line. What people need to understand is that when your spirit bears witness to something, it's because you can't see it out of the natural eye.
Right.
If the natural and the spiritual work at the same time or work together, then you wouldn't need one or the other. When you can't see out of the natural, God will show you something in the spiritual realm simply because it's not obvious. But when it's obvious that RuPaul is in there, There's no spiritual realm. There's none. Everybody in the church, as you heard the amen, was bearing witness. So were they all in the spirit? Was the whole church in the spiritual realm? And the transvestite or whatever it was the only one in the natural? Come on, there's a problem there.
Right. Because they were all
Let me just say this. If anybody's in the spiritual realm, then you don't need me as the pastor, because I'm not showing you anything or teaching you anything that you don't know yourself.
Right, right. If we can all pick up the same thing, then we all equal.
Right, right.
And you know, and I'm listening. It seemed like the more he talked, the louder and the more voices you heard sanction and amen and say that and blah, blah, blah. So my thing was, okay, so when you heard, when he started talking, if this was a spirit thing, then everybody would be looking around. It would have been more silence and more trying to figure out who and what you're talking about.
Who it was.
But the reason why there were so many amens was because as soon as he started talking, they knew exactly who he was talking about. So that's why I have to agree with, you know, everybody ain't working on no spirit. There's no way in the world you will talk. That came from your spirit. You saw when the person came in, or when you came in, you spotted the person because the person stuck out, or whatever. And I agree with Brother Al with the fact that you kicked him out of church. The first thing he said was, it was inaudible. You couldn't really tell. And then he said, yeah, you. Please leave and go put some men's clothes on. And I was like, oh. So, you know, I don't know. Gentlemen, this has been some conversation. Thank you so much for your contribution today. And we pray you have a blessed day.
You as well.
Thank you. Woo. All right now. Let's hold hands and hold hearts. Heavenly Father. God, the more we talk, the more I realize how blessed we are. Thank you so very much, God, for loving us and giving us grace and mercy. Thank you, God, for showing us what true love is. And if we were to take a lesson from your book, we would learn how to treat one another properly. And Lord, we're listening to leaders speak these things. And God, we're here. You have called this to our attention so that we could speak and show what the body of Christ needs to represent, who we're representing, what we need to do and the things we should not do. And we thank you, God, for investing in us, where even when we think something that is not quite correct, that you have that correction come through. And we're appreciative of all of your blessings, God. Well, we're going to lift up these two leaders, preachers, whoever it is who's speaking, God. And we're going to ask you to just touch their hearts, touch their minds, touch their spirits, so that they can lead your people accordingly. No more wolves in sheep's clothing. Your word says that the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few, and it's fewer than we think. But God, I pray that for all of us who are in leadership, for all of us who take the time to give the word, for all of us who you have called to the ministry, that we step up and we stand out. And we make it our business to represent you properly. We make it our business to give the truth, so that people can really be free. We thank you, God, for showing us the way. Here we are, God, on a 2-hour broadcast, and we learn so much each and every day. How great of a God are you that you would just infuse such powerful levels of wisdom and knowledge into 2 hours. But it's the first 2 hours of most of our day. And we thank you, God, for setting the tone for the day. And we pray to Heavenly Father that the Amen Corners would hear a word, would hear from you, read a scripture, read a pamphlet, something would come across their eyes, their minds, their hearts, their spirits that would correct
everything that they do. Everything that they're doing, so that they would understand that we can't help to beat people up and to break them down. It's our responsibility. Your word says that our words should be used for the edification purpose, not to tear people down. And it's not okay to just be on the side of the pastor or the preacher. But when we say amen, that is partnering up with a word of truth, that is partnering up with the way you would want us to think or you would want us to feel or you would have to behave or say, that we just can't say amen to everything. We pray for the people who were insulted by these words, and we pray that they would not walk around with church hurt, that you would do your perfect work in their life, that someone else was sent to show love, understanding, and just to be appreciative of what's being done. And we ask for great healing in their life, because we know that they're already struggling. People are already struggling. And that they should be free to walk in your house and just receive love. We thank you, God, for showing us the way. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, I remember, and I think I said this on here before, there was a young lady, and we were in service, and she said, "You will let a murderer come to church?" And I said, "You're here." Because, again, in our mind, there's sin in gradation. You know, my sin ain't as bad as your sin. Your sin ain't as bad as my sin. And it's disturbing when we feel that way or think that way, because if you think about it, you're not going to work too hard at fixing anything if you think, or as much as long as you think you're not as bad as. We all have to understand that we are dirty, filthy rags at the end of the day. That, you know, here, you know, only by the mercy and grace of God that we're where we are. And I made sure to answer her just like that. I said, "Julia, ain't you? We don't have the right to discriminate. We don't have the right to call out, pick and choose. We don't have a right to stand up in front of a congregation and berate them, put them down. You know, if you feel that your congregation is not spending their money wisely, then do a study on that, because there's enough scripture to do a study on how we should spend our money. But it can't be self-serving. It can't be, I'm going to teach you how to spend your money or to hold on to your money so you can have it when I ask for it. It can't be self-serving. It has to be because your people need this understanding, because they need to understand what God wants out of their life. Can't be self-serving. It can't be about how we're going to benefit from it. But it's because it's your salvation, as Brother Al pointed out. Your salvation is at hand. You know, again, the Bible says that there's going to be them ones that, "Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do that in your name?" And the Lord's going to say, "Ah, get away from me. You workers of iniquity, I know you not." Let me tell you something. I can't even imagine being here on earth
doing all of that to get to God, for him to say something to me like that. So it's our job as leaders, teachers, ministers, to relay that importance and that reality before men. That's our job, to help people understand how important it is that regardless of where you are in your life, you need a savior. Whether you're a drag queen, a murderer, a liar, a thief, regardless of whatever your sin is, if you have not given your life to the Lord and truly given your life to the Lord, you may not make it in. Not because you're dressing in men's clothing, but this one over here stole a bag of chips because he had to feed his family. He had to make a move. He had to do something. No, it is our responsibility to let you know, as laborers in the vineyard, that we all need a savior. And when you are sent to us, that we embrace you with all the love, the care, the concern, and handle you with kid gloves. Now, those who are under my leadership, they know I'm tough. So they probably sit back there, well, Pastor Steph, when you said this to me, you weren't handling me with kid gloves. Yes, I was. Yes, I was. I'm tough because I understand that you got one or two choices out here. You got a decision to go to hell, or you got a decision to make it in. And I don't think you think it. I see that you're underestimating this thing. Let me help you understand how severe this is. That when God closed your eyes, listen, everything you've done or you haven't done is going to matter. You can't fix nothing after your death. And considering that we don't know when our last day is going to be, I advise you to get this thing right. Because we ain't got no time to mess around. I go back to saying, we saw an article of such, I mean, when I told you the flames, it wasn't even flames on this car. Oh, my God, to believe that somebody was in this vehicle when this vehicle was, I mean, just engulfed in flames, and he was 22 years old, 22, not 93, not 78. You know, when my mother passed away this year, one of the things I thought about was 78 years behind her. He had 22 years of life. Stop thinking that it can't be you. Because I'm sure when he got in that car that day, he didn't think that was going to be his last day. So when I talk to you the way I do, that's me helping you understand that, hey, pay attention and understand. You can make all the plans you want, but the Bible tells us that the day God closes your eyes, all your plans stop. You can't ride that motorcycle no more. You can't have that trip around the world. You won't be able to hug and kiss your kids, your grandchildren, mother, your father. All of that comes to an end. So we got to get it right as long as we have breath in our body and we are able to consciously make a move, and every decision counts. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, our men, for giving us some thought-provoking things to send us right on into the weekend. Thank you for hanging out with us all week, and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss this opportunity to either give Christ your life right now or strengthen that relationship with God, because only the right, even the righteous shall scarcely make it in. You're not guaranteed to get up in. Until Sunday, God says, where is the Word Prayer Project? Come on in the room, because you don't know what we're going to be praying about. Until then, I love you.